Well, speaking of kitchens, that's what's on the mind of Bill Mackay of the University of Auckland School of Architecture today. When it comes to urban issues, we tend to spend a bit of time in the kitchen at the best of times. Of late, it's been a bit of a crowd in there, too many chefs and all the rest, Bill. But it's put kitchens on your mind.
Yeah, kia ora, Catherine. I've just been running around the house, actually, avoiding the lawnmower next door. So
this is what we call ambient sound from our home offices,
yes,
Bill.
The new normal. As people may be aware, we live in a former PLAB that we bought off Housing New Zealand. So we've had a build around recently, but he had to leave for level four, of course. So we've been coping with COVID on the domestic front with only half a kitchen, which is a bit unfortunate considering they're the epicentre of the house these days. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about the history of them and a few design tips after that. So bit of history first, Maori always cooked outside, and actually you see the separation of cooking throughout Polynesia, throughout the Pacific. Settlers often had a kind of a step-down area where their kitchens were on a kind of like a paved surface or earth or something like that, and that was often about fire risk as well. In the bungalow era of the 1920s, we saw the advent of domestic science and scientifically designed kitchens. And probably many people have heard about the kitchen workplace triangle. Have you heard of that?
The kitchen workplace triangle?
Yeah.
Is it like the Bermuda Triangle?
Triangle between the fridge, the stove, and the sink.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But you mentioned preserving as well, and actually the advent of canning through Mr. Watty and a number of others kind of like put paid to that. But kitchens have always been the heart of the house. And in villas, for example, there were parlours at the front, but they were only for visitors and special occasions. And families actually lived in the kitchen. The kitchen was the living room. So everyone would kind of, you know, the kids and dad would come home from work, nice and warm in there, sit around the table. And then a bit later on, we had the advent of electricity and gas, water heating, stoves and kettles replacing coal fires, that sort of thing. Fridges date from the 1920s as well, but they weren't affordable really until after the Second World War. The house that I grew up in actually had, well, a couple of houses because I grew up in the country, we had meat safes, and they were still quite common in town up until the Second World War. Ulverston in Dunedin, if anyone's down there, is a Heritage New Zealand house. It's a great time capsule because basically one family lived in there. They were quite well off. So you can see a lot of early 20th century domestic appliances in that house. Everyone goes to Larnet Castle when they're in Dunedin, but I totally recommend Ulverston. And no disrespect to Larnet Castle, but I think Ulverston is much more interesting for seeing the life of a family in a house of that period. State houses, 1970s. It was a big change there because the architects, male architects who were designing those, saw the kitchen as a workplace for mum. So the family were expelled to the living room. So that's when we really first start to see in bungalows and state houses purpose-built living rooms that you'd live in all the time rather than hanging out in the kitchen. But that was this idea of the kitchen as a workplace for one person only was quite unpopular with tenants. After the Second World War, we got much more of the kind of that open plan influence coming through from the States, California, the ranch style house. And really the history of the house has paralleled the emancipation of women in many ways. It's always been the heart of the house, but today it's kind of at the center, physically at the center of the house as well, and wide open. So I'll talk a little bit about kitchen design now. Kitchen renovations, importantly, because we're at level three, but we were at level four. They are one of the few things that you can still do at home without a building consent. So if you've got an existing kitchen and you rip out all the cabinetry, and maybe you might move this, replace the sink, maybe you'll move it a little bit, you might add a dishwasher. You can do all of that without a building consent, but you still need licensed plumbers, gas fitters, electricians. You do hear the word registered, you hear the word certified, but licensed actually relates to licensed building practitioners. And it's important that anyone doing work on your house is a licensed building practitioner, and get the paperwork off them, get to them to sign it all off after they've done their work there. So this kitchen triangle that I was talking about earlier, that really is out of date. You still get a few people kind of thinking, mentioning it. I've designed a few kitchens in my life. But it really dates from that era when mum, the housewife, was the sole person in the kitchen. And I really favour the idea of zoning. So these days, you want a number of zones in your kitchen. So if someone is prepping dinner, you don't want a kid making a snack or someone making coffee or someone using the microwave getting in the way of all of that. So really kind of like think of your kitchen as kind of like a number of rectangles in which different people can be doing different things, and they all intersect at the fridge, you know, because we only, well, most of us only have one fridge, and that's the kind of hinge of these multiple zones of use. We've got seven in our house, so it's really, it's a bit like flatting again, three couples, so multiple different meals going on, and I think a few households still have that kind of thing. If you've got a couple of teenage fussy eaters in the house. So just a little bit of general stuff. I really favour shallow pantries, so you can see what's in there. It's quite tempting to do big, deep pantries, but I find that stuff gets lost in the back there. If you do find it, it's past its use-by date, all of that sort of thing. It just fills up with clutter. I'm a huge fan of adjustable shelves in pantries and cupboards. And I'm always tweaking and adjusting the shelf heights. One of the things that we do wrong with storage is that we're storing air in there rather than the maximum goods that we can fit in. So I'm always adjusting, raising and lowering shelves, lining my tins up, getting quite obsessive about it in the opinion of some people here. But it's all about a bit more efficiency and being able to find stuff, especially if you've got, like we have, a couple of different households operating in the same place. The other thing that really bugs me, because I'm quite tall, is bench heights. So we've made our bench heights taller here, well above 900 millimetres, 90 centimetres. Bench heights have been pretty much the same throughout the last 100 years. Meanwhile, we've all been growing taller. And it's important because you spend a lot of time intensely focused on chopping carrots or something like that, prepping. And it's important that you don't find that you're stooping when you're doing that or using the sink. One thing about level four and being at home is that I'm a huge fan of mocking up kitchens and layouts. Whenever I do a house design, I've done a lot of restaurants as well, and we always mock everything up using various temporary materials. And that means you can get the dimensions right, the heights right, balance out surface areas and your reach and your space and all of that sort of thing. So
we've got to wrap it, but that sounds like a very good plan, yeah. Including getting the old island bench in. Have you got an island bench in your plans? They're the thing, yep. Aren't they?
And what I always try and do is kind of, you know, because we're using cheap, yep, kit set, well, good kit set stuff, but have some big feature in there to give it a bit of personal character.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Bill Mackay.